This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this week's after show. Today, we're going to talk about lots of different things. If this is the first time listening to the after show, how it works is we basically just shoot the shit, talk about some relevant topics, and then we answer your questions. So if you want to know where to send in the questions, best place is Instagram. So just shoot us a message on Instagram or answer any of the posts where we ask for questions on Instagram. Some people email in, that's fine as well. But wherever you want to get questions to us, you can even email us in private on the DMs, Raf and I, and we'll answer those questions for you. And then, we don't get to answer everyone's questions. So potentially if you ask pretty generic stuff that we answer all the time, then because we've answered a few times, we'll probably skip it. So please don't take it to heart if we don't answer your question. We can't get to all of them.
No, take it to heart and you can improve your questions.
Oh, yeah.
More specific.
Yeah, but we can't always get to everyone's questions because there's so many of them. But we appreciate all of you that do send in the questions. Okay, so Matt, really what I wanted to start with today is, I don't even know if it made it onto your radar, but did you see the leg snap that happened on the weekend in the UFC?
No, just your description of it.
Oh, my God. What do you mean, my description of it?
Oh, I think maybe you weren't there. We had this long discussion. I think you might not have been there, actually. But we talked about it in the locker room. I think it was you. We had a long description and reenactment of this injury.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of like this on YouTube before.
But you haven't?
I haven't seen this one.
Okay. Well, you've seen a leg break before on YouTube?
Yeah, like there's a really famous one. I think everyone's seen like a lot of times where the guy kicks in, the guy lifts up his knee, shin hits him in the knee, and this like foot is just like flapping in the wind.
Yeah, right.
Cannot stand on it.
Well, there's only ever been three in the UFC.
This is very old. Okay. I saw this in high school.
Yeah, okay. So maybe it's different. But yeah, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, the UFC started in 92 or 91. So it's been 20 years. It's 30 years? 30 years. And it's only happened three times. So once a decade. So it's a freak accident. But what... I don't know if you believe it. I'll get your thoughts on this, but the person who it happened to, the last person it happened to, Anderson Silva, right? This is just a little bit of UFC history for the listeners, but it's relevant. He kicks him in the leg, right? So this guy, Chris Weidman, the All-American, he knocks out Anderson Silva at the peak of his career, right? Basically ruined Anderson Silva, like greatest, UFC champion at this point, ruins his run. They do a rematch. In the rematch, Anderson goes to kick Weidman's leg and snaps his shin, right? So basically, he ruins the career of the greatest MMA middleweight of all time up until this point. Basically, Anderson takes like, I don't know, a year and a half to come back from the leg breaks. Obviously, crazy traumatic. You got to build the bone back up, etc. And basically can't win a fight till then. Lost like the next 10 fights in a row. And at that point was like the greatest, right? So Weidman clearly was the turning point that ruined his career. Weidman had an average career, lost a ton of fights. He's just really popular just because he's the guy that beat Anderson Silva. That's kind of how he made his name. Anyway, Anderson...
But only because he broke his leg.
What do you mean?
Oh, you mean because he beat him the first time as well?
Yeah, he just beat him, yeah. It's like, and then, anyway, so Anderson is like getting to that retirement point. Basically, every fight he's having, everyone's kind of expecting him to lose. He's still a good fighter, but... Everyone's kind of just like, bro, you're 40-something. Like, let's just, get this done. Anyway, so his last fight, he loses, gets knocked out, Anderson Silva, and he retires. And he retires to this guy, Uriah Hall. And they have this long moment at the end where Uriah is kind of like doing the whole traditional, like, I'm sending you off. Like, it's been an honor having you in the ring. They're praying with each other. They're like doing the full martial arts, all the honor stuff, right? Now, in the next fight, it's Uriah Hall, the guy who retired Anderson Silva, versus Chris Weidman, the guy who basically ruined Anderson Silva's career. And Weidman, in the first kick of the match, snaps his shin on Uriah. Now, you tell me, but that's not...
This is the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is not a coincidence. How can this be a coincidence? What I think happened, Anderson was like, I was the greatest UFC middleweight of all time, potentially the greatest fighter of all time, until my shin got snapped. Freak accident. So I'm going to, as one last, parting wish, as part of my retirement, is infect you with, because at this point, the match between Chris and Uriah hadn't come up. So then it's the match has been made. I reckon he's put some crazy Brazilian negative juju on in his leg. And then Chris has gone out there and Anderson, with one last swing, has gone from his retirement, sitting there watching with a smile on his face going, I've put some curse on Weidman, and this is payback. So the instant the shin snapped, I reckon Anderson was sitting there going, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I got a smile on my face. That's what you get for fucking ruining my career. Bro, I reckon that can't be a coincidence. Yeah. Think about it. Think about all those stars to line up. That's like a 1 in a billion chance.
It's also just funny because he would have spent so long in like... Like, would have obviously sounded bad, looked bad to him. He'd be like, so happy that wasn't me.
What do you mean?
Like, because he would have seen...
Oh, Chris, yeah, when it happened. Yeah,
thank God that wasn't me. It looked so painful. Like, I could hear the crack on my shin.
Yeah, it's fucked.
And then the other foot.
But, it's very rough to watch. But anyway, it was just a crazy UFC event. So, it was the first UFC event back where they had a crowd. So, it's like 10,000 people in the stadium.
Unless they got a good show.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, what the prerequisite would have to be for you to come into that stadium. I mean, it was in Florida. So, did you have to have the vaccine? Did you have to have a negative COVID test? Really?
I really don't think
But they're all high-fiving the fighters as they come out.
So I think it's just state by state. I just don't think they care very much. Yeah,
fuck, it's crazy. So, just buy a ticket, sold out.
At your own risk.
Fuck, that's crazy. Because if you're the fighter, right? So, you do a fight, you win. Then you're like high-fiving everyone afterwards. What if you get COVID?
Yeah, I think a lot of them aren't too worried anymore.
Yeah, right. It seems crazy to me, but I guess different standards over there. Very different standards. Anyway, did you see that? Did you watch that video I put up with Jeremy, the speed thing that happened on the weekend? No. Okay, so during the week, because I went for my outdoor workout, I put headphones in, went to do the normal Botanical Gardens walk. I don't know if you've done that one many times, but I put my headphones in, but I didn't turn them on because I started answering an email or something. And then ended up...
Just so no one speaks to you. I've done that before.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I actually wanted to listen to something, but then someone started talking behind me and I was listening. And this guy, and I couldn't see him because he was walking behind me. This guy started saying, oh, yeah, just pick me up a box. You know, next time you see the doctor, get a prescription for me or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy is asking his mate to get him prescription medication that obviously the doctor shouldn't give. And he's like, what is it called again? Duramine. He's like, oh yeah. And Duramine, I don't know if you know, they give to people that are obese to help them lose weight. Right? So it's an amphetamine. So it's speed, essentially.
Right. Yeah. It increases like your heart rate, so you burn more calories.
Yeah. So, amphetamine is like crack, ice, same thing, right? So it just elevates everything.
Yeah. I'm thinking the mechanism to lose weight. It increases your calorie expenditure.
Yeah. Yeah. It just increases your activity, your metabolism. Gives you tons of energy, right? So you're just like, moving around heaps.
That's good for fat people.
Well, but it's an amphetamine, so it's like prolonged. It's eight and a half hours, 9 hours acting drug, right? And you're taking it all day to lose weight. So you can't sleep.
And doctors hand that out for losing weight.
Yeah, all the time, right? But even worse is, you know, they have to obviously, a doctor's not just going to give it to anyone. They're going to obviously check your blood pressure and all your symptoms and stuff. And you might have loads of things because one of the things it gives you is really high blood pressure and it gives you, you know, it puts a lot of strain on your heart taking this drug. It's amphetamine. Mm. So you wouldn't give it to someone that has a history of heart issues, right? If you're a responsible doctor, because you would increase their risk of a heart attack. If they have a history of heart attacks, you're probably going to kill someone by giving them this drug. Anyway, this guy just seems to think, this is how little research people do, is they know it's a weight loss drug. And so this guy is just trying to get his mate to get it for him. And it sounds like it was pretty easy. He's like, yeah, sweet, I'll just see you on Wednesday, I'll pick up. This guy's proclaiming this on full blast to everyone that's around him in the public. Obviously, everyone's doing their own thing, so they don't really care. But I'm listening in on this conversation. And I'm sort of expecting this guy maybe like to be like a bodybuilder. You know, he like just wants to shred up for his competition or whatever, he wants to get leaner. Man, this guy's probably like 40 kilos overweight. And he's trying to get Duramine from a mate to lose weight. And on the way to the bar,
How do you think the mate's getting it? Because he's overweight?
Yeah, the mate's probably getting it from his doctor. Well, there's probably shit doctors out there, right? They can just pick it up or get a prescription for it. But I just think there's so much wrong with how people like this think. It's just concerning. It's concerning that people are now at this point where maybe this guy's maybe just shy of 40, rather than think to himself, you know, I should probably go to the gym, like start lifting weights, get a personal trainer, eat healthy. It's like, can I get this, you know, amphetamine off my... Because if you went up and you told him, this is a bag of speed, people take it when they go to festivals, would you like to take this in smaller doses every single day to lose weight? He'd be like, no, you're fucking crazy. Mm. But because it's wrapped in a box and it's handed to you by someone that has a white coat and other people take it for weight loss, it seems to be okay. It's just fucked up. Like, it's just fucked up in so many ways. It makes me feel sick, basically. I don't know how much you feel, but I just thought I'd share that story with you.
Yeah, I'm astonished. I don't know what the justification would be to prescribe it in the first place for almost anyone.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it seems so dangerous. Mm. It just seems so stupid.
For what? Maybe like an extra few hundred calories of burn?
Well, I just think... No, it's fucking effective.
How much would you burn in a
day? No. You would lose 30 kilos and like... If you had 30 kilos to lose, you'd lose it in a few months.
Even with the amount that they give, a doctor gives?
Yeah. No, it's fucking effective. No, because one of our clients... So that was... The reason I knew about it is because one of our clients has used it and he lost like 30 kilos with it.
Fuck.
Yeah. But... You know, obviously, we know how these things work. As soon as you go off the drug, because the drug is an appetite suppressant, right? It's also increasing your metabolism, increasing your activity, increasing your heart rate. It's doing all these things that are super unnatural. So the second you stop taking the drug, your metabolism slows down, your hunger comes back. You're going to put the weight back on. It's just how these things work.
You also just don't have the belief in yourself.
Yeah, you haven't established any good habits.
I could only do it when I had that.
Yeah, and it's like, and then you probably stop your exercise routine. You probably stop eating well. Well, you probably start eating. Because you've stopped eating. But your sleep, it wrecks your sleep. You're sweating profusely. Like, it's just bad in so many different ways. But I guess the only reason... Because when you look at when they prescribe it, they generally only prescribe it when you're obese. So, I think what it is, it's like you can't really move. Like, you can't walk and shit. So, like, your only
option is... I guess in some ways, they're like, okay, let's just lose the weight. It's always healthier to be not severely overweight.
Yeah.
So, there is some justification. Hey, let's just like... This not the way to do it, but let's do it. You're not going to be overweight, and then you should start really working on healthy habits, getting things right, whatever. If you're severely overweight, because the sooner you can not be severely overweight, it is better.
Yeah, but I mean, most people that take it are not severely overweight, right? So it's just, I don't know. I feel like it's just a doctor. Someone comes to you with a weight problem, and you just think, okay, the easiest and best thing for me to do now, will this help this person lose weight? Yes. Okay, here's the medication. So I don't know if anyone listening to this has been prescribed it before or used it before. I'd be interested to hear your experience with it, but
I've never really heard this.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Yeah, it's actually quite common.
Widespread. Yeah. There's a lot of overweight people.
I'll tell you who our client is after that uses it, but used it. But he said it fucks you up. It fucks you up good. A few people have tried it as well that I know, and they said after like a week, 2 weeks, they just made them feel so shit that they just couldn't take it anymore. Yeah. It's not good.
Well, if it's burning that many calories, like, surely you're not going to feel good.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, just humans just really shouldn't take amphetamines, full stop. You know, they just really fuck you up. People take them to, like, stay awake at night and party.
Yeah.
And you're using it to lose weight. Like, you know, that level of energy and expenditure, it shouldn't just be your everyday that you're, like, sitting at a desk just to, like, go through your normal life. You know, like, I don't know. It's just wrong. It's wrong in so many ways. But anyway, that's how I feel about it. Anyway, I mean, I told the whole story on my Instagram if anyone wants to check it out. Did you see Whoop's new valuation? $1.2 billion?
Yeah, there was some backstory to the Whoop one, which is how... For anyone that's bought a Whoop, you obviously know that in the start, they would... like, they did a more subscription. So, you buy the band, you do it like that. Then they moved to the like subscription where you pay for the app.
Yeah.
And really, I think the whole point of that is like they have allowed them to acquire so many more customers into this space than they were previously. So, it was like pretty slow growth, and then they made that change, like now has gone absolutely crazy. I don't think what they were saying is it doesn't make very much money, but like a lot of these app subscriptions, they're just getting so many users now. They've got like an absolutely stupid amount of users. So, it doesn't make that much money, but they get a ridiculous valuation.
Have they disclosed how many users are on Whoop now?
Yeah, it was in the article. I can't remember what it was, but 100,000? How many bands? I got a ton. I think there's a difference between like active users and whatever.
How many bands have sold,
and everything like that, and how many are on the subscription, but it's like added a zero each year. Like, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, right. But is it millions of users now, or was it...
Yeah, I think it was millions. It was in the article. Wow. I'll pull it up.
You know, I think... I think it's doing bloody well. I mean, we see so much benefit from using it, but... Yeah, man, they're such a great company. I think they're doing so well. Did you actually see that they are now paying their employees a bonus if they get a sleep score above 80% in a month? If their average sleep score in the month is above 85%, they pay them a bonus.
Fuck, that's a good deal.
That's good, eh? Yeah.
To the employees.
Really, yeah, to the employees.
What about really strain? Can you make extra money from strain?
No, we're not getting in a strain competition. That's a disaster. Yeah, so... I thought, you know, with all the money they're raising and stuff and, you know, how many times they've raised money, what do you think Will's share is in the company at this point? Like his percentage?
Was he the individual founder or the
No, I think Will has a co-founder.
He has a co-founder.
Yeah, I think you talked about it on our podcast.
Well, they're up to Series D. Series D of raising funds.
No, Series E.
This article's old.
Yeah, Series E.
So, I don't know. I don't know how the structure. I don't know if it's online, but this is the old one, right?
No, it's just
new. Nah, it's old. That's an old article. Oh. I don't know. I'm going to guess. I don't know if you know the answer here. Probably around like the 5 to 12% sort of range.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't know the answer, but yeah. I mean, that's what I would be thinking. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg has, 20% of Facebook? And did Facebook do much fundraising?
I don't know. I don't think they didn't nearly as much as this. Because I think there's so much like R&D and stuff like that into this.
Yeah.
That it's kind of a different ballgame.
Yeah. The question is, the question that begs my mind is like, how big will we get? That's what I want to know. Like, how much potential is that? Now that it's in all the professional sports, I mean, most fitness enthusiasts have at least tried it at some point. Because, you know, Whoop can be very seasonal, how people wear it, is what I've noticed. Is like people have to have a strong motivation, a strong reason to use it long term. I mean, most people, I think, listening to this, probably, I think more people, I mean, we've had at this point nearly 700-800 people buy Whoop through us, and I'd say like half of them probably not using it anymore, you know, because I think if you look at the, like, even if I just go to the My Muscle Project leaderboard for it with 100 and something people in it, not everyone will be reporting their scores for the day, like, and it just means it's off. So I think the reason to stay in it is it's a lot more difficult. So we've got 140 people on our leaderboard, and we're only collecting data so 40 people don't have their Whoop on.
Yeah, I think in the future, everybody will do health tracking. I mean, really, everybody does do health tracking now because you have a smartphone. It pretty much always does like steps and something, right?
Yeah.
So everyone's getting some data. Do think in the future, though, it's really going to be mass. And I think we'll probably get there where it's just, there's like no reason to not do it.
Yeah.
Whoop hasn't quite got there yet. I don't think any of them have got there yet. If you have like an O-ring, you take it off for exercise and stuff, right? Whoop, you like still got a charger. You can like lose a charger. You can just kind of fall off it, not see the point. I think where this stuff is going and it's got to get to, and I think where it'll help on a mass stage is just, it's like for life. In the same way everybody tracks their steps because you have a phone, everybody carries a phone.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the point it's got to get to. That's where it will get to, and everyone will just have like incredible health data about themselves.
Yeah.
If you're really into it, like me, I'm like, I see the value in like charging it and thinking about it and wearing it and changing the band when the band gets old and all that type of stuff. Eventually it's going to get to where like, hey, everybody needs to have this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it just needs to be, like, the reason we use it, obviously, is because, you know, we make our clients use it, and so we want to, you know, represent our values. I think a lot of people will stick with it because of the community aspect of it. Same way you wear, like, that Garmin watch, right? It's because you want to do endurance events. I'm an endurance person, so it's, like, part of the status of wearing it as well. So, I will find it interesting why people take it off and then why people obviously keep it on long term. But I think ultimately it comes back to that principle of, like, tribes, right? You want to be a part of something. And so the more you can, if you know the Whoop's valuable, but you can't seem to manage to stick with it, is you need to find a bunch of people, like a tribe of people, a community, and get into it. Use that community aspect. That's the function that'll give you some longevity in it. And I think that's what Whoop needs to focus on and hound on if they want people to keep it on.
From what I've heard as well is that it has taken a while, and I think it will take a little bit longer, but the insurance companies are going to start to move in and really start to give benefits to people. And I think when that change starts to come in, it's, apparently, people say that it's going to really start to explode when insurers want to see data.
Mm.
And there's like obviously a difference in rates, and they can even give like companies a whole difference in rates in terms of health insurance based on like how much the company is tracking this stuff and where the rates are. So I do think in the future, it's like almost going to go close to public information.
Mm.
And I think what I've heard is that even coming out of like COVID, a lot of stuff is like that. Because like, oh, if everyone's wearing this, we can like find out how pandemics are going sooner. So even like governments are going to have like real vested interest in everybody tracking their data.
Yeah.
Hey, we want to know. Like, if everyone had been wearing the Whoop, we wouldn't know how quickly COVID was spreading. Mm-hmm. Might have picked up on I don't know if everyone in Wuhan, China was wearing Whoops. Probably not. Probably no Whoops there. We could have picked up on this earlier.
Maybe.
Because you can see, like, if everyone's wearing Whoop, you can see small changes very quickly. Mm-hmm. Oh, so weird. Like, sleep in this one area, respiratory rates change, and, like, it can set off alarms. So, it's 100% the future. It's basically when you can be bothered to jump on board.
I can just hear the conspiracy theorists just getting so mad right now about everyone wearing wearing a whoop and sending their public health data into the government.
I mean, I'm sure like that shit will come out, right? Someone, there's going to be something where like whoop sold all our data. Like Facebook gets hacked all the time, right? I'm sure they have pretty good cyber security.
Mm.
So this shit is going to happen. But I always just think like, I think the risk reward is worth it for me.
Do you want to go through another pandemic and lockdown and have all these people die? Probably not, right? Yeah.
And the risk of my data getting sold about my sleep and my health metrics, I'm just not too worried. I obviously really hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But the reward of having my data is higher.
Well, in your situation, your premium would be lower.
Yeah. Right?
They're like, he sleeps well, he recovers well, like he's healthy, you look at his metrics. So it gives you incentive to be healthy, which is ultimately what we want. Anyway, so speaking of that, coming to the end of 75 hard, just looking at it now, I think I'm at day 53. Yeah, I'm on day 53. But one thing that I think I brought this up on the last podcast, but one of our clients actually did 75 hard when I announced it. He did it and he didn't even know who Andy Frisella was. He just did it with a friend.
Who did it?
Sam Roby.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it. He'd already done it, I think.
Yeah, he already did it.
Yeah, he'd already did it.
But anyway, it just made me think about, because now a bunch of other people have started 75 hard. Has some clients. Got another client who's looking to start 75 hard, and he messaged me and he said, "I'm really struggling to get motivated for 75 hard," and I think this just really goes for any challenge that you set out for yourself when you set it out. If you are not chomping at the bit, if you don't have a really strong why behind why you're putting yourself through something like this, you will fail. It's not even a 99%, 100% chance. If you're sitting on the fence like, kind of getting dragged into this, or I think I want to do it, or this, that, you have to really, really, really want to do something, right? And that's when you're going to succeed, because the reality is with stuff like this, it's going to get fucking difficult, like really, really hard. And there'll be moments where you're like, fuck this, I don't want to do this anymore. And if you just don't have a strong why behind why you're doing it, that's it. It's over. And so you feel worse off about yourself, because it's like, when the going got tough, I just gave up. And so what I've noticed with a lot of people starting these challenges, as I'm trying to motivate them, you know, we had another client say he wants to do 100 days, all this sort of stuff. A few other clients have come up to me, they want to do 30-day challenges and stuff like that. And I think challenges are good because they can motivate people. All I try and educate them on is that we need to understand really why we're doing this. And the best way to establish a why, I feel like, is rather than, because everyone looks about it or sets himself up a challenge as to all the things they're going to give up. But I say, okay, why do you want to give these things up? And they just give me a bunch of, you know, reasons that they think they should say. But what you really need to focus on is the benefits behind giving these things up. And that's why you're doing it. So what will you gain from doing this challenge by giving up these things? That is your why. And I think people are getting confused behind all these things and all these answers they should give us. And if those benefits or that thing you're trying to gain is not that exciting for you, the things, and you don't want to attain that thing that badly, then you're just gonna give up, because it's not going to be that important to you. So instead, you're going to focus on the sacrifice. So to give you an example, one client's like, you know, I want to give up booze for 30 days or whatever. They go, and another client, same thing, want to give up booze for 30 days. One client, the why is like, you know, like, just want to really lose some weight. And it'd be really good to be lighter. That's a pretty good reason. Honestly, you can do that with still drinking alcohol. It's not that strong of a why. And then ultimately, at some point, they quit pretty quickly. Because I tell them, look, you don't need to give up booze to lose weight. And because that why is not that strong, they will, when it gets tough, when they go out with friends, they go out to an event, they're entertaining clients, they're all going to have a drink. And they'll feel shit about themselves because it's like, I said 30 days I wouldn't drink. But with client B, it was, you know what? I really need to get sober. It's ruining my life. It's destroying things that I hold that are important to me. It's derailing a lot of areas I wish I could improve. If I do this, not only will I feel better and my health will be better, but I will have a more stable personal life. My business will grow. I'll feel better about myself. My relationships will be more stable. I'm like, that is something that you can't beat. Now you're going to succeed. When those are your reasons to not, and when you think about the sacrifice, you think about what you're going to gain, you'll be successful. And so that's why you and I have done so well with 75 Hard, because the reason going into it was we want to level up. We want to upgrade so many areas of our life. We want to have a successful business. We want to lead our companies. We weren't going to fail. I mean, yeah, we tripped up, but we restarted again. So that's just how I've been thinking about these challenges and how I've been trying to motivate clients. And I reckon for you guys listening that have clients that you work with, it's probably a good thing to consider. It's probably a good conversation to have, because if you go into it and all they're thinking about is the things they're giving up, then, and the reason that they're giving them up, there's not a strong reason for the benefits of what they're gaining, they're not going to do it. They're going to be unsuccessful. And you don't want to put your clients in a position like that where they fail, because that'll just be worse off for you in the end.
Yeah, and I think getting into this one, you realize as well how it's a long time. I mean, this is probably turning out to probably, I think it's close to 100 days because of the restart. But it's a long time when you start a challenge. I can do see why now so many challenges. I'm always like, I always made fun of challenges. I was like, why do they do them like so short? Like, whatever, 20-day like weight loss challenge. Like, oh, so stupid. Like, the longest one you ever see is like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? Generally pretty short.
Yeah, so 40, now, 42 days.
Yeah, now I understand why. Is because doing a challenge like this, it is because people love stuff that they're like, okay, you know, I could, no events on, none of this, like, I'll fit it in. That's kind of like, goes against the whole purpose, which is like, no, it's like trying to do something new in your life.
Mm.
So you need to fit like your regular life into this. But they're like, oh no, for like the next 30 days, it's perfect because I got like no events and I got this, so I can pull this off. I'm like, oh, well, you're like, you're obviously doomed
at
the end of this. But with this challenge, tons of stuff. It's been really long. It's been like basically 100 days. Well, it hasn't been yet because I haven't finished it. But if I don't restart again, I think it's about 100 days, which is like months.
Yeah.
You know, so I couldn't even really think, oh, like, is this going to be different to my regular life? It's just regular life.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, captures most of the events they can throw you off course for. And that's why it has been pretty challenging. I do think that, yeah, if you're going to do a challenge, making it more long-term is, I think, a better way to do it, having done this.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to think about, okay, I'm going to make my regular life like this challenge life.
Yeah. It has to. It has to overcome so many different obstacles along the way that, yeah, you will get more benefit out of a longer challenge. For
even
sure.
For other people, you're like, oh, look, I'm just going to do this for like 3 weeks. It's going to go back to normal. And we're like, okay, cool.
Mm.
Whereas when you do the longer one, you got to have like more in-depth conversation with someone. Hey, I'm like not going to be doing this for like a long period of time.
Mm.
So we're going to have to like live differently.
Mm.
You know, maybe your friends like, oh, yeah, well, you can miss 2 weekends. I'll see you on the third one.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, no, dude. Like, we're going to have to like see each other, you know, not doing those activities or not going to be around in the evenings or the mornings, whatever it is, right? There's like genuine changes you've got to make when the challenge goes longer.
Mm.
So I think maybe some of the criticisms I gave challenges are probably not as fair when you actually do the challenge for longer.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's fair. I mean, there's a lot that goes into 75 hard. It's why so many people don't make it to the end. But yeah, the benefit of when you can get out the other side, because it's so long, is your life genuinely changes. A lot of habits in your life do change, and so for that reason you'll probably more likely make the long-term benefits or the long-term upgrades that you were planning to when you started the challenge, whereas most 30-day challenges, yeah, they don't really have that long-term.
I'll tell you the number one thing I'm looking forward to after this.
Yeah,
I fucking hate the photo.
Oh really?
I hate it. I nearly stopped doing it. I was like, oh, stupid part of the challenge. I just
but that's the
like,
point, right?
Yeah, I kept doing because I just wanted to be, you know, I didn't want to say like, oh, I kind of did it. I didn't do the photo.
Yeah.
When it's not a very hard part of it. So I just did the photo for the sake of the challenge. But that's the one bit of the challenge I don't like.
Yeah, but that's the exact point of the photo. So you didn't read the book, did you? Have you heard him talk about the photo?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, so that's why you don't like the photo. So the point of the photo is he's like, everything in people's life is they only care about the big stuff. Care about the workout, they care about the nutrition, but what separates the best from or the elite 1% from everyone else is that they take care, they tick every single box and they put as much, they place as much importance on getting the small things done, which everyone overlooks, like, oh, it's just a fucking photo, bro. Those are the small things that when you add them up over a long period of time.
Sorry, it's not the small bit. It's just me. I could just choose any small thing. I just think that's a really bad small thing for me. I just think, like, I'm like, okay, now I try and do it in the first bit of the day because I'm like, and I'm like starting my day with like taking a photo of myself, then looking at the photo. How do I look today? Oh, I'm a bit fatter than yesterday. I'm like, God, this is like the wrong way to start my day. It's not how I'd want to start my day long term. And I think for a lot of people, I don't
think. Well, that's because you put it at the start of the day.
The healthiest habit. Often it ends up being the nighttime as well. I just generally think, I'm like, oh, it's like not an activity I get a lot of enjoyment out. I don't think it like is the right mindset activity. I agree with that purpose, and it is true because there's some of that as well. I'm like, oh, it's like a small thing, so I can skip it. That's really why I do it, because like, it's just part of the challenge. Everything else I've liked. Everything else I'm like, oh, this is like really a positive. Like the reading, I'm like, it's positive, right? And I guess that could also be a smaller thing. It's like, oh, it's just like 10 pages, whatever.
But maybe you're not. Maybe you're trying to like something that you don't need to like. Maybe it's just part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just part of the challenge. Exactly. Yeah. I'm saying it's something that I don't think adds anything to my life that I wouldn't continue with after the
challenge. No, I don't think
everything else I really like in the challenge.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But I think it's not supposed to be one of those things.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, it's unique to that challenge, and no one's ever going to keep taking photos of themselves all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't. I would never set an expectation that something like that would be positive necessarily. Obviously, yeah.
Other part of the challenge for me, I'm like, oh, it's pretty positive. I mean, you have to work out every day.
Yeah.
But finding the time to work out has been really good.
Yeah. I think the habit of doing... like, because I would have full rest days, and I think they're bad. I think...
I've never been a full rest day person.
Yeah. So, I've had like full, I'm doing nothing today days all the time in my week. And I think that I need to always at least have some walk or something in there. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think it's so much better.
Yeah. I think it's also helped me to, because you're training so consistently, is not have workouts be so intense. Workouts don't really need to be. I mean, obviously, if you're trying to make like crazy progress, then you need a certain level of intensity. But you can just do a workout, enjoy it. Like, obviously, make it hard, enjoy it, like suffer a little bit, but it doesn't have to be like annihilating amount of volume and shit. You know, it's just unnecessary.
Yeah, and it becomes, I always prefer that. It becomes so routine. It builds up less and you're like, man, I've got to smash it today because like these 2 days are off. You just teach yourself how to have low days and high days.
Yeah.
Really effectively, you know? Because the difference between your low day and your high day should be like crazy.
Yeah.
High day is like full savage crazy. And your low day is so, so far apart from that.
Yeah.
Whereas often people get in the routine of just like, this is how I train.
Yeah.
So that's the only training, you know, really they know how to do.
Like I was saying to our clients, even one of the things I thought about is like, I would rather you guys come in here every day. And even if one day you just stayed walking on the treadmill, I know your schedule doesn't allow it because on the days that you're not training, because there's no routine, there's no positive way to start your day, everything else kind of falls by the wayside. Like you're doing something nutrition, but I'm looking at your strain, you barely moved. You have not moved all day because, you know, for a lot of these guys, like building in 10, 15 minutes of walking, they see it as an inconvenience, but going to the gym, yeah, awesome. But I'm like, no, you need to do something when I don't see you because you're not moving enough, you know. Only moving for, only doing 10-minute workouts, 10 high-intensity cardio conditioning workouts 2-3 times a week, it's not enough. It's enough if you're adding lots of walking and you're doing some exercise with the kids and you're out running and doing that. And there's plenty of movement in there. But if you're only moving 3 hours a week and everything else is sitting and standing and lying down, man, it's fuck all. It's really fuck all.
Like, well, that's been my challenge for 75 Hard this week because I like ramped up my training for this 30-kilometer run, which I've committed to being this Saturday for like the last 3 or 4 months. One mistake I think I finally made, I think my program was spot on. And then right in the last 3 weeks, I got extra weights in, right? So I only had 20 kilos this whole time. So I had 20 kilos. That was like the heaviest I ever went on my weight vest.
Oh, your vest supposed to be 30 kilos.
No, it's 30 pounds, which is like 14 kilos. Yeah. But like I would go for walks with 20 kilos, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I'm going to buy some extra weights. I'll have 30 so I can walk with 30. And I was like pretty excited by this, right? So I did that like every single day for my outdoor workout. Just a walk with the 30 kilos. You almost can't run with it. A few times I did some jogs or like fast walks. Pretty much fast walking is good. Still at a heart rate of like 120 when I'm walking. Anyway, I did this. Some of the walks were actually like hours and hours. When I was in the Blue Mountains, like 4 hours with it.
Oh, 4 hours with 30 kilos?
Yeah. And I
could barely lift. That's a lot.
No, when I take it off, I literally can't lift my arms up. Because it depresses your shoulders so much, you can't elevate until you get the feeling back in them. And then anyway, my Achilles started killing me on Monday.
Is it right at the base on the
right
heel?
At the bottom?
Yeah, okay. The attachment.
And I had no idea what to do for my outdoor workouts. So basically, this whole week has just been like hobbling in pain for 45 minutes.
Because
I'm like, what can I do? I have to be outdoors. So I've been like just trying to walk basically each day. I've got treatment. Everything has gotten no better at all. And now it's tomorrow.
What is the diagnosis from the treatment? Have they like run their fingers up and down? Have they said it's torn or anything or not?
No, it's not torn. They just think it's like an ISIS. You know, they fucking the same shit, right? Like overuse, obviously.
Yeah.
But the problem with this area, I think it heals very slowly.
Okay.
Very low blood supply to your Achilles. Like when you get Achilles, it's such a slow recovery.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, it's going to take like quite a bit of time to get better, which makes me just want to do the run because I'm like, well, it's going to be the same in a week anyway. So, could be famous last words in here next week on crutches.
I don't think it's going to snap, right? Because you need a lot of force to make it snap.
Yeah, I think it's just going to get much worse. And then I can just have time off.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what I'm going to do for my outdoor workouts for a while.
So, are you not going to be able... like, are you refusing to like walk it with the vest?
No, like there's still going to be, regardless, there's always going to be some parts of walking for it. every lap, I was going to have a period where I like drank my drink and walked.
Oh, okay.
Brought my heart rate down a little bit. And I could fit that in my times
to
get under. But no, I'm still going to try and just give it my best. And then if it just absolutely kills and I'm struggling to move, I'll just keep going with a walk.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you think at this point you've decided you're going to go ahead?
Yeah.
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 What time do you start on Saturday?
7:30 tomorrow.
Oh, 7:30 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So how long is it going
to
take you?
Well, ideally, roughly? I wanted to do it in 4 hours.
Okay. So we'll see. 7:30.
So if you come at 3 o'clock and I'm still there, you know it's gone really badly.
Extremely poorly. All right.
I'll report in next week.
So we talked about it actually already, Whoop. You guys, if you guys are interested in a Whoop, we just basically did an ad for it. We didn't mean to, but themymuscleproject.com/Whoop, WHOOP. That's how you can get a code for a discount. But actually, what we want to talk about today is actually something a little bit special, something different that we're going to do. We're pretty excited about something. We just wanted to mix it up a little bit. But in May, so it's April now, you might be listening to this in May, for the month of May. So what we're going to do is if you buy a training program from us, so any of the fitness, body, strong, it could be phase one or phase two. What we're going to do is if you use the code giveaway when you check out, we're going to put you into a draw. And in that draw is you're going to get an opportunity, and this is only for people that listen to us in New South Wales. Okay. It's for anyone in Australia, but New South Wales is better because you don't have to pay for your travel. But if anyone can buy it, you just have to pay for your own travel. But what we're going to do is we're going to put someone in a hotel for one night. It's going to be a nice hotel, most likely down right near in the beautiful part of the CBD where we have locker room. You guys are going to get a chance to travel with us, sit live in the studio, and actually ask a live listener question. So whoever wins this, I want you to don't come up with, what do you think about vegan diets? No, just come up with a really good question. If that's you, going to ask it, sit in live on the show, live on the after show, basically side by side with us right now. We're going to train together at locker room, so you get an opportunity to go to obviously our brand new facility and do a training session with us. And after that, we will take you for lunch at our favorite place at locker room. So, and you, that is an excellent lunch. You will not want to skip on that. So for anyone, again, in May, if you use the code giveaway when you check out, you'll go into the draw. We're going to pay for one night's hotel. You'll sit in a live after show with us. You can turn it into a weekend if you want with your partner, I guess. You bring them along. You'll get to ask a live after show question, sit in on an after show. You'll get to train at locker room with us, and then you'll also get to go to lunch for our favorite spot in the CBD. And this is not like, hey, we're going to get a fucking burger. No, we're going to go to a really nice place, take you out for a beautiful lunch. So
I can't eat a burger anyway.
Nah, but we can eat meat. That's true. All right. So, looking forward to you guys. Hopefully that's something exciting, something different that we can do. And we look forward to whoever wins. I think we're going to have a really fun time, have a good training session, talk a lot of shit, have a lot of fun. So, yeah, that is starting in the month of May. So, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about buying a program, yes, guys, that's all you have to do. Use that code giveaway when you buy your programs. And then, yeah, you'll go into the draw to enjoy that experience with us. I don't even know what we'll call it. It's called like the podcast experience.
It's going to be sick. Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
It's going to be good fun. All right, listener questions.
Okay, Coach Ryan, he wants to, he's looking to grab one of the programs, leaning toward Project Body, and he wants to know which one you would work on and just generally training for, like to train with in conjunction training for marathons, or in his case, a 50 to 60, I'm assuming kilometer ultra race.
Okay. Well, I guess it sounds like he's obviously got his fitness cardio side handle, so I would imagine a rollout, rule out fitness, like conflict a lot.
Yeah.
Conflict a lot. Matt, strong or body, honestly?
I think body is too much lower body work.
What I was going to say is you'd probably have to take out some of the lower body.
Just because with a strength program, I think it is generally a lower body dominant program. You know, it's like, because you got deadlifts and you got squats.
Wait, you're saying what has too much volume? Body or strong?
Strong.
Strong. Okay, you said body.
Okay, sorry. I mean, yeah, strong. Because I was doing strong and then I basically did exactly what you said. I started preparing for like a long run. And I did find that it's just a lower body dominant program.
Yeah,
and
deadlifts,
squats. It's just really hard to like do all the running and stuff and keep up the type of stuff. And particularly keep up the heavy weights.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst. That was actually the number one thing that had to go, was the heavy weights. You still do like light split squats, lunges, stuff like that. But like heavy weights is, I think, a challenge. And I think it can potentially have some injuries in there as well. If you're coming in with like really tired legs and trying to hit these like old percentages on your squat and stuff like that. So I probably wouldn't recommend that. I think your better bet would be body. And you still might need to peel back some of the lower body stuff as you get deep into the training.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing to add there. I'd agree, for sure.
Okay, next question. Top Spence, how do you stop getting frustrated when training very hard and consistently and is not seeing gains?
I think we touched on this a little bit last week, but well, first of all, if the training is going really well, potentially some of the areas you can pick up is in your recovery. So are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting enough calories? Obviously, it depends on the goal. Is it a performance goal? Is it a like muscle building? Like, so changing your body composition is more predictable, right? It's more linear. So losing body fat and gaining muscle, it's a bit more predictable and it has a lot more measurements, whereas increasing your performance, it's less predictable. So sometimes you feel like you can be training really hard. Like a perfect example is kind of like what I'm doing with the bar muscle up training. It feels like you're always putting in all the work and you're getting really, you know, you're not really making progress, but you seem to be doing everything right. Some of the numbers going up, but the movement's still not there. And it's like that guy that's digging in the mine, right? He's two guys are digging, they're chipping away in the mine. And one guy gives up because he's like, I'll never do it. And he's 1 meter away from, you know, reaching the gold. But, you know, if you just keep pushing that little bit further, you might realize that you're just around the corner from the gold. And usually it's right at the point where you're asking this question is the results are pretty close by, where you're like, man, I've been grinding at this shit for ages and it's not been improving. That's really kind of where most people quit. So I'd say you're kind of on the right path. If you just keep chipping away here, focus on the other things I just mentioned, the recovery side of it, and I'd say you're pretty close to your results.
You know what I think teaches you, well, for me with lifting, teaches you that the best is Olympic weightlifting. Because I think you have like often big jumps with PRs. So often it would be, if you're like coming up, you're like 60, 70, 80, 90, it would be right at the time where you're like, I haven't stuck it this way for so long.
Mm.
It's like a bit of demotivation. Often then you like hit a really big jump.
Mm.
If you're ecstatic, you love it, you're so pumped, you like hit it a couple of times and then starts again.
Yeah.
And it's just like a long period. You're like, dude, it's happened this time. I'll never progress. Because you could be, I really stuck at the weight for like a whole year.
Yeah.
That's like a long time.
I use nothing now.
Yeah, it's nothing now. But to be, you know, doing a lift two times a week, maybe three, every single week, 52 weeks in a row, and you're like, oh, like haven't put on a kilo.
Mm.
It can be demotivating, but yeah, very often that was the time, big jump.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing things right. So that's just how it goes, I guess.
Welcome to the game.
Okay, and this question kind of carries on. It's a little bit different to the previous one we have, but it's how do you combine building muscle and doing lots of fitness?
They really want to do, same person?
No, different person. Kevin Petrician, but it's a bit similar to the one before. So she loves trail running. She loves mountain biking. She really doesn't want to give it up. And she really struggles to put on muscle building. So how do you keep putting on muscle or find the right program to put on muscle when you don't want to give up what you love?
Yeah. Well, there's just always give and take with these things. And so, actually, we've got a client at the moment, similar sort of thing. He really wants to, you know, gain muscle, look better, fix a lot of his injuries, which is going to fix through strength training, but has been an endurance athlete his whole life and really loves endurance work, like loves it, loves competing in it, loves doing it, finds weights really boring, to be honest, but knows that. And I think our guest, Sarah King, put it really well. She was like, I know you love all this other stuff or whatever, and you might not love weights, but I don't care. You have to do it. It's mandatory. And that's how I feel about strength training. And that's how I feel about putting on muscle. It's like, I don't care how much you love some of this other stuff, and you don't love weights and you don't love strength training, but you have to do it. And it has to be a priority. It's just mandatory. It's just maintenance as a human being, in the Western world. So that's the first thing I'd say. And obviously I think you recognize this, but you realize that you're doing so much cardio that it's obviously inhibiting your ability to gain muscle. That just might be it. It's just like, cool, I don't want to give this stuff up. I'm going to put every effort I can into gaining muscle now and do the strength training and follow a program and eat enough calories. And I'm just going to be happy with just a tiny bit of muscle. And that's all my body can afford to do right now because it's putting so many resources to recovering from the endurance stuff. And that's just the game that you've chosen. That's how you've chosen to play it. And that's just, you know, the sacrifices and the results that you're willing to give. But, you know, you can't be wanting to put on as much muscle as a bodybuilder who's dedicating all the time and energy and resources to gaining muscle and you're doing all this endurance work. You have to find the balance. You have to set your expectations in the right place. And if you don't want to give it up, yeah, it's fine. You don't have to give it up, but just know you're just not going to put on that much muscle. It's just simple. If you really want to fucking put on muscle, You want to put on as the most amount of muscle possible. Cut it down to one run a week. Enjoy the shit out of that one run. And everything else is all the resources are put towards getting muscle.
Yeah, you just got to do less. The thing is, you don't need to give it up. You know, like you definitely don't, like muscles don't evaporate when you go on one run or one mountain bike, but they kind of do if you're trying to gain when you go on it like four times a week,
yeah,
five times a week. So if you can do less, and the good news is you don't need to do less forever. You can do less for a period and then you can be jacked and mountain bike and run a ton.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that hard to maintain the muscle mass at that point and do all those activities. And you might fall for that. You might see people doing tons of endurance and they are pretty jacked and they're maintaining it. The difference is obviously is maintenance. And this is really different to gaining. So if you're probably sounds like as well, you like genetically don't gain muscle that easily as well. So for that period where you're like odds are stacked against you, you can't just like do endurance the whole week and expect to still overcome your genetics in this circumstance. So there's just got to be a period of less. It also will be a pretty long period. Might be a year, might be 2 years to get to. I don't know where you want to take it to, but a pretty long period. And then you can get back to it, keep your calories right, get your protein right, and you can maintain in the long term.
Mm. That's it for listener questions?
Done.
Cool. So I actually didn't have a show this week, but I did start your show, The Ripper. And I could not stay awake.
You didn't like it?
Well, I liked it, but for whatever reason, it was putting me to sleep, bro. I just couldn't stay awake. It's crazy. And then...
How far in did you get, though?
Episode 2.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched episode 1, like barely made it. I was been woken up a few times because Ev was really enjoying it. She was loving it. She's like, it's awesome. Great recommendation from Raph. And I was like, oh, yeah. I don't know. I think I was just really tired those few days. I couldn't stay awake. But I actually did start watching Gallipoli, which is... I think
the original?
Not the original. There's a new series on it, like a TV series, which is actually really good. I've been enjoying that. And then what I realized was in my head, for some reason, I mixed up Kokoda Trail and Gallipoli. So I'm watching Gallipoli and I'm like, man, there's like no rain. There's like no mud. There's no greenery. I was this, got this all wrong. Like they fucked this up. Like, and then I realized Kokoda Trail was World War II. Yeah. Gallipoli was World War I. But Gallipoli was like, because we had Anzac Day. That's why I started watching. I think that's why they put it on Netflix. Mm. But it was the worst defeat in Australian New Zealand like war history of all time.
Like, yeah, it was bad.
Like we got obliterated.
Yeah,
yeah. Like it was. For some reason, I thought Gallipoli was a good thing.
But nah, Gallipoli is the one where we like they were from higher. The Turks were from higher. Yeah. And we were just like running over the hill and just shooting us down.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just totally forgot. I'm like usually a pretty good war history person, but I think all my war history knowledge is World War II. I don't have any World War I knowledge really. Because it was a fairly, like, uneventful war.
It's not as interesting.
Yeah, it had less events, right? Because the technologies and stuff,
technology
right?
wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Way more just like, over the hill, you're dead.
Yeah, it's like in the trench, and then we're going to chill here, and then we'll move forward, and then we die, and we go back, and it's just like a bit of that, yeah.
And it didn't, obviously famous characters, doesn't have the famous characters of World War II.
Yeah.
Doesn't have, like, Winston Churchill.
But Hitler. Churchill was involved in World War I, right?
Yeah, I think he was in, I think part of the reason he
became
was
the
out
Prime
of
Minister.
Power, no, was out of power and... and struggled to get back in power for World War II was that he was involved in the Gallipoli disaster.
Right, okay.
Yeah. That was like a huge... That was not good.
Right,
it was like a real black X against his name.
Yeah.
Was that I believe he was involved in that and in like the decisions to whatever do that.
Yeah.
And so many people died from it. So, he was involved. And I think that was one of the reasons he was like... Because he was in like the wilderness for like a decade in between. Because everyone had like lost respect. Said, made the wrong decisions under pressure because of that. But no, I haven't seen the new one. I love Gallipoli, the original movie.
Mate, what a fucking comeback story from Winston Churchill.
Yeah, that's like it's one of the best comeback stories.
Yeah, yeah.
It was in that Stillness is the Key book. All about it. But the idea of it was that he was away for so long doing like nothing. So he was able to like, you know, really work on himself and get his like ideas really solid and like just really like get himself ready for an insanely...
World War II.
Yeah, basically an insane back end to his life.
Mm.
And then he made this like insane, like a Tiger Woods style comeback
and
got all the way back. And then when he was back, he was like, you know, ready to roll. Like, could, even though he was very overweight and alcoholic, still had like really good energy and could like push all the way through.
Now, I think that's such a good thing. One of the books I'm reading now is they're talking about how most presidents spend a lot of time like not being a president because they need to constantly look back at first principles and like
while they're still president
while they're the acting president they try and take a lot of time outside of the White House for holidays and stuff because they need to like have a clear headspace to think about things very like on first principles, you know, because they obviously they're in the shit all the time. And if you're just in, as we know, like we're in the shit right now with everything, and it's just like it's way harder to think clearly and to think about make good decisions when you're like in the day to day so much, and like just getting even like 30 minutes an hour, just a break from everything, you are able to see things a bit clearer, which is like, you know, I'm looking forward to like having a one of those retreat things that we do at some point soon to look back on. Yeah, just kind of an overview of everything now. But
well, it ties into this, but we had this argument at the gym today, and it was about the prime ministers and the president.
Oh, okay.
And we're talking about how our prime minister is like quite overweight, right? And how
it's Scott Morrison.
Yeah, it's normal for it. And they're like, everyone's like, oh, like what exercise does he do? And everyone's like, oh, like don't know if he does any exercise at all. Okay, you know, he's on Peloton. Is it a Peloton?
No, I just saw a photo of him once with a spin bike.
And they were saying like
it's not
how,
working.
Yeah. How it's weird that, you know, no one really brings it up. It's like, how can you struggle so much with something as basic as like your personal fitness and your personal health, and then everyone's like, oh, he'll be fine to look after the country. You know, in similar, someone I guess was like a financial wreck or like divorce, everyone would get in the media and be like, can't even hold down a family.
Yeah,
you know, how's he gonna hold that? And that would like people that would, we could imagine that would come out almost definitely, but somehow doesn't yet come out with people's personal fitness.
Well, I think that because most people don't hold that standard for themselves. That's why. And so they see Scummer and they're like, yeah, fat prime minister. Good on you, mate.
I guess so.
Drink a fucking beer. You know, like that's most of our... We forget. That's most of our country is like that. And so they're like, oh, it's like us. People want to vote for people they like. And he's like them.
To me, it's astonishing that we think about it, that you would want this person to be at the most elite level possible, right? Like, do we need like clear decision making? Could be at war. We need you like firing. We need the triple whoop band.
Most people don't think
whoop
like
bands
that.
Around the forehead. You're going to be on like BCAs during speeches to make sure your like mind is sharp. Whatever it is, right? That's what you would think.
Yeah.
Like, surely it's more important than the person that is an elite athlete.
Mm.
But they're like, oh no, it's fine. Just be fat. Be all good.
Was anyone pro-fat world leaders?
Yeah, some people were like, oh, it doesn't matter. And like they work really hard, so there's just no way they have time for exercise and stuff like that.
Bullshit.
But they got shut down pretty hard. Because like, I think Barack Obama was in really good shape.
Yeah, excellent.
And then people
shape.
Were bringing up Tony Abbott.
Tony Abbott's
in
excellent
shape.
Who was
like crazy shredded.
Yeah.
And was doing like, I think he was doing like Iron Man and shit. Like absolutely savage shit. But I think we'll get there in the future. I do think at some point in the future, there'll be an expectation. Be like, you know, it'll be like a shutdown that is hard to come back from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can't even look after your own health and fitness.
Yeah, well, we're still definitely nowhere near that because look at Trump, bro. He's a disaster. He's a nightmare. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Go watch Gallipoli if you haven't already on Netflix. I'm going to give it... I've only watched 2 episodes, but I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 so far. It's done really well. And its ratings are
It's
like
a reenactment.
Insane. Yeah. Yeah, it's got really, really good ratings. And yeah, good little thing about World War One history. So check it out, guys. Remember, that competition starts in May. And then, of course, pick up a Woot band as well. Support the show. And guys, we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.